You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast, encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit.
Hello, David Diga Hernandez here, and I'm continuing now my Eternity series. Now, the Eternity series is broken down into different lessons, and some of those lessons have actually been broken down into two lessons. So, this is the Eternity series, and the lesson is the afterlife, and this is part two of my lesson on the afterlife. And so this one I know is going to enrich you as you receive that revelation knowledge. It is going to bless you, and it's going to give you clarity and understanding concerning the end time events. I'm addressing those assumptions that we have and that we hold to, that maybe religious tradition has taught us to believe, those assumptions that keep us confused and make no sense and cause the timeline to be all mixed up. This lesson will bring clarity concerning the afterlife and eternity. Now, the second paradigm I'm going to break, and this one may be a little bit more difficult to digest, but I'm going to show you the scriptures for it. And again, once you understand these foundations, it will be much easier to go through the information in the future and the revelation that the Spirit's given to us through the Bible and understand how all of these events and how all of these truths harmonize together. So there are, in fact, three primary judgments that humanity will face. So many imagine that there is one judgment, that there is only one time that people are judged. However, if that were the case, then that would mean that people who die who are godly have to go to a holding place and wait until that final judgment. But the scripture makes it clear that that is not the case. Again, both the godly and the ungodly will be judged. So let's make that clear. Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 9 say, "But because you are stubborn and refuse to turn from your sin, you are storing up terrible punishment for yourself. For a day of anger is coming, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will judge everyone." That's what the Bible says, everyone, "according to what they have done. He will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good, seeking after the glory and honor and immortality that God offers. But he will pour out his anger and wrath on those who live for themselves, who refuse to obey the truth and instead live lives of wickedness. There will be trouble and calamity for everyone who keeps on doing what is evil, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile." Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12 say, "So why do you condemn another believer?" And now he's talking to believers. "Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scriptures say, 'As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me, and every tongue will declare allegiance to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God.'" Now, on a side note, I want to throw this in there because I know I didn't put it in my notes later, but I want you to notice that it says every tongue will confess and every knee will bow. That's all people everywhere, but that's descriptive of a physical body. So keep that in mind, and I know that'll come to your mind when the time is appropriate. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." So the believers will face judgment. Now, our judgment is going to be different. I'll describe that later. But it's important to understand that there is a judgment of believers. So these are the three primary judgments. The judgment of the church. And that is what the believer experiences at death. Number two, the judgment of the nations. This is when Christ returns, not to be confused with the rapture. The rapture is Christ taking his church. The return of Christ is Christ establishing his kingdom. So at the rapture, he takes. At the return, he establishes. Those are two different events. And again, I'll give you a very clear timeline in the coming installments. Number three, the third judgment, it's the judgment of the wicked. And this is at the end of time. This is at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. This is when all things truly are coming to an end. This is after the rapture. This is after the millennial reign. This is after the tribulation. This is truly the end of all things. This is just before God creates the new heavens and the new earth. So the judgment of the church, that's every believer. They face that at the time of their death or at the time of the rapture. The judgment of the nations, that's at the return of Christ, not to be confused with the rapture. And then the judgment of the wicked, and this is at the end of time. So number one, let's look at the judgment of the church. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body." So, when the believer dies, he immediately passes through judgment and then immediately receives a glorified and resurrected body. Judgment does not come after eternal life. So once the believer has been granted eternal life, it means they have passed through the judgment. It would make no sense for the believer to be judged and receive a glorified body, or to be judged, enter heaven, and then have to come out of heaven to enter judgment again. It doesn't work that way. So the believer has I don't want to call it a convenience. I feel that would be too much of a downplay of it. I would say the believer has the privilege of facing God immediately upon death. We're not placed on holding. We're not placed in a place of torment. We're not placed in purgatory. We're not put to sleep with no consciousness. Remember, we addressed that in the last few installments, that death is a place of consciousness. You're not asleep in the sense that you're not aware of anything. So this clearly means that when the believer dies, he immediately goes through judgment and receives a new body. So again, judgment does not come after eternal life. So once they've come into that eternal life, once they've entered into the presence of God, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Once we've entered the presence of the Lord, it doesn't make sense for God to send us out of his presence, make us pass through judgment just to come back to him. So the believer has the privilege of being judged right away. So this judgment, the judgment of the church, the judgment of the godly, is an ongoing judgment. It's not on a particular day. It's something that's been happening since Adam all the way down to now, and it will continue till the end time events are finished in the appropriate time. So the believer actually enters that judgment upon death. We go, we stand before Christ, and we're judged in a different way. We receive our reward. So I'm going to prove that to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands." When does this happen? The scripture makes it clear. When this earthly tent we live in is taken down, or when we die. So the scripture right there is 100% clear. Once the believer dies, they stand before Christ to receive a new body. So the judgment of the nations is different now. So there's the judgment of the church that happens at the death of the believer, or in a very special case, for those of us who are around, I'm believing we're going to be around for the rapture, but for those of us who are around for the rapture, we actually don't face the physical death. We actually are raptured and then go receive new bodies. But for those who are around, that's a different experience. For the rest of us, and again, I think I'll be in the rapture, but to play both sides, I'll also say that for the rest of us, if we die before we make it to the rapture, we have the privilege of being judged and then receiving our new bodies immediately. Okay, so then the second judgment is the judgment of the nations. Now, this is at the return of Christ. Keep in mind, the return of Christ is after the tribulation. So the scripture here is much more, how do I put this? It's much more descriptive of that judgment. And you'll notice that here in Matthew 25, the portion of scripture I'm about to read, you're going to notice that there's a separation, sheep and goats, sheep and goats. So what judgment is that? Because that doesn't sound like the judgment of the believers. The believer who dies, or when we're raptured, why would we have been raptured if we're going to be separated into sheep and goats? God would never rapture goats. And the godly who die go and they're present with the Lord right away. So what is this describing? This is the judgment of the nations. This is after the tribulation. So now God is judging those who've gone through the tribulation. Many will be saved during the tribulation. Someone asked me, well, if the Holy Spirit has been lifted from the earth during that time, does that mean that people can't be saved? In fact, it does not mean that. The Holy Spirit isn't lifted completely, but his influence is in the spiritual gifts and such, as we saw in the book of Acts chapter 2. That influence is lifted, and we go back to what his influence was like before the church was born. But still, the Holy Spirit is present in some way in the earth because many receive Christ. In fact, we see in the book of Revelation that some refuse to receive the mark of the beast and were therefore rewarded. Those must be those who find themselves repenting and receiving Christ. So let's now go to this portion of scripture, Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, Verses 31 through 46 say, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then these righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say, 'I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.' Then the king will turn to those on his left and say, 'Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me drink.'" And it goes on to repeat the same ideas. Verse 44, "Then they will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or in prison and not help you?' And he will answer, 'I tell you the truth, when you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me.' And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life." Now, this portion of Scripture, again, is describing the judgment of nations after the tribulation. So you have to remember that during the tribulation, many of the Jewish people come to receive Christ as their Lord. This is when God's people, as he originally intended, I shouldn't say it that way because it was always a part of his plan for the Gentiles to receive salvation, but I think you understand what I mean when I say that. When God's people, the Jewish people, turn to him in mass scale, it's going to be during this time. And so those who are saved also with them and those who receive Christ during that time are separated as sheep. And this is describing that kingdom. This now is describing the ability that they have to enter into the millennial reign. So though they didn't have a chance to be raptured, though they didn't have a chance to, you know, die and then go into heaven, some of them did die during the tribulation, still it remains that they receive glorified bodies. They receive reward. They receive the righteousness of Christ. So this second judgment that takes place right after the tribulation, just before the millennial reign, includes those who receive Christ during the tribulation. And so this, especially if you look in the scriptures, the book of Matthew, you know, I don't want to exclude anyone, but often there is much written to the Jewish people. And if you look at a lot of the parables that Jesus told, you can see that he told it to a Jewish audience. And especially concerning some of the end time parables that Jesus told, you see that he's talking about a bridegroom and feasting, and he's talking about this bridegroom entering into the world, not the church leaving. So this, I believe, these parables concerning the end times, I believe, are talking about those who are taken into glory after the tribulation, and this is by the judgment of the nations. And finally, we see the judgment of the wicked, and this takes place at the end of time. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15 say, "And I saw a great white throne, and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. And the books were open, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead. And all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death, and anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." This is describing the judgment of the wicked at the end of all time. Now, you notice the scripture says that they were thrown into the lake of fire. Death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. Well, what's another word we learn for that? That's the word describing hell, the grave or death. The grave is hell. So those who were on hold in this waiting place of hell, they're resurrected, but resurrected unto death. Which brings me to the final foundation I want to lay for you before we get into the timeline. And that is the fact that there are two resurrections. There are two resurrections that the scripture talks about. Now, there is a resurrection of the godly and a resurrection of the ungodly. John chapter 5, verses 28 through 29 say, "Don't be so surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment." Luke chapter 14, verse 14 says, "Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you." You notice it says the resurrection of the righteous. It has to identify that resurrection to distinguish it from the resurrection of the wicked. Acts chapter 24, verse 15 says, "I have the same hope in God that these men have, that he will raise both the righteous and the unrighteous." Now, here is the terrifying truth, because we know the wonderful truth. The wonderful truth is that the godly are raised the moment they experience death, or at the rapture. Again, that's when the godly are raised. And then the godly are also raised at the second judgment, which is the judgment of nations. These are the ones who decided to receive Christ during the tribulation. They also receive the gift of salvation and an eternal, resurrected, glorified body. So we're settled on that. That's clear. What most people don't know, and this is terrifying, is that those who are in hell, this waiting period for the ungodly, are not resurrected until this final day of judgment. Now, the ungodly are raised after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Can you imagine this? You know that Jesus is the way. You found yourself in hell. The way you've lived your life, the rejection of Christ, has brought you to this point. And then you hear of everything going on, the end time events, and you know that you have 1,000 years before you stand before God. I believe that those in hell will know when the millennial reign starts. And that 1,000 years, after it's gone by, they'll stand before their Creator. And then they will be thrown into the lake of fire. This is what the scripture says. Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. "Then I saw thrones, and the people sitting on them had been given the authority to judge." This is talking about, I believe, the millennial reign. "And I saw the souls of those," this is different now, "I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony about Jesus and for proclaiming the word of God." Listen to this. "They had not worshipped the beast or his statue, nor accepted his mark on their forehead or their hands." This is talking about those who lived during the tribulation who decided to follow Christ. "They all came to life again, and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. See, they came to life, and then they entered to the millennial reign. Verse 5, "This is the first resurrection." The Bible clearly says it. It says, "The rest of the dead did not come back to life until the 1,000 years had ended. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. For them, the second death holds no power, but they will be priests of God and Christ and of Christ, and will reign with him 1,000 years. So think about this. The fact that there are those two resurrections, the resurrection of the godly. Now, this is describing, again, the resurrection of those who lived during the tribulation. But the resurrection of the godly is not just a one-time event. It's ongoing. Remember, since the time that godly people began to go to heaven, that's their resurrection. And the resurrection, by definition, is simply the receiving of a new body. And so, all the ungodly go to hell when they die, where they await their resurrection unto judgment. The godly are both raised and being raised. So there are several parts to that first resurrection. So here I want to break it down for you now, the different parts of the godly resurrection. So we see what happens with the ungodly. That resurrection, which is called the second resurrection, it's where they're in hell and they wait until judgment day. They receive new bodies and they're resurrected just to face God in judgment, only to be sent to the lake of fire. That's terrifying. But then there's the resurrection of the godly. We just read it, that those who were beheaded during the tribulation will receive new life. They'll reign with Christ during the millennial reign. As we saw in Matthew 25, they were given this ability. They were given this privilege of doing so. But what happens now with that resurrection of the godly, that first resurrection? Well, again, this is ongoing. There are several parts to this first resurrection, the resurrection of the godly. First of all, There's the resurrection of the saints in Jerusalem. Remember in Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 through 53, we saw that when Jesus died, many of the old saints in the scripture, I'm looking at this scripture now, Matthew 25, 50, 27, 50 through 53, we see the tombs were opened, the bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. So that began the resurrection of the godly. There's the resurrection of the dead in Christ. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Look at the scripture. Then there's the resurrection of the raptured. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. Then there's a resurrection of those who receive Christ during the tribulation. That's Matthew 25, verse 46. And so the resurrection for the godly is ongoing. So I want to go review this now. These are two installments that we divided this up into. We had to separate the material. But so those are the three paradigms, the three foundations I wanted to give you to help break you from some assumptions. The first one is that assumption that there was a difference in the afterlife in the Old Testament. Not so. It's been heaven and hell since Adam. Then there are actually three different judgments. This is something you need to know. The judgment of the church. That's every believer faces that either at death or at the rapture. Then there's the judgment of the nations. This is at the return of Christ when he comes to separate those in the who lived out the tribulation, the godly and the ungodly. We know that some will receive Christ during the tribulation, so that has to be judged. And then there's the judgment of the wicked. This is at the end of time. This is all those who've gone through hell since the beginning of time, since the days of Noah, since the days of the early church, since even, and it's actually going to include even those who lived during the tribulation and died during the tribulation, all of them, everyone who's wicked and ungodly, who died without Christ, all of them are resurrected to this third resurrection, to this third judgment, I mean. And then also number three, there are two different resurrections. There's the resurrection of the godly, which is broken down all throughout history. And then there's the resurrection of the ungodly, and they rise to just face judgment.
Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.